We also express our welcome to those online, those that are here with us. And we know that some people were not able to be with us because of health or other situations. But it is, with God, is never, you know, is never quantity. God always get quantity and quality. Sooner or later, he will get both. We know that he always wins in both ways. But we are very blessed that you chose to make this place holy with your presence, as the Lord that's holy is also here. Look at the screen, please, and the scripture for today. It says, then the angel shouted, worship and honor God. There is never a time that is this invitation is so relevant. This is the heart of a three angels message, for us to invite everyone to worship and honor the only one. If you want to know who he is, the rest of the verse give a description of what he is. He's Abba. He's the one who created heaven and earth. He's the one who created the oceans and every stream. He is the one who creates you, and he is the one who has redeemed you. So he wants to have you, him, with him forever.
Amen.
Okay? And so the message today, it is, you find the heart of the message in the chapter 25 of Matthew. The title that we gave to this message is Judgment Day. Yes, I noticed that a judgment in England has the E. And in English, United States, they drop the E. So it's Judgment Day. So if you, one of you doing research and you see those two, I went through the same thing. I noticed that there was a difference, and I tried to find out why. There one in English here in United States, they have an E. They don't have the E. And in England, they do. So if you're reading something online and you see both spellings, it's because there they have the E, over here we drop the E. And I hope that we don't drop anything else. All right. And so as we made this picture was made especially for the Vista Church. This is, you don't find the same picture anywhere. So I want you to see what the background where Jesus is coming is the scriptures. Then there is the scriptures. Then there is a clock there telling us very little is left before the day comes. And also the hammer of symbolized judgment. And of course, the modern picture of the Bible. So the picture in itself is supposed to be preaching. That's why I'm calling attention. We never put a picture or in a cover of the bulletin or in the screen. We have no intent to speak as well. And you know, they say that a picture is equivalent to 1,000 words. And we know that sometimes we have young people, and they are right now so overwhelmed with pictures, with their cell phones. And so we put those pictures up there because if they grab the picture, at least they leave this place with something in their minds. So we hope that we catch their attention, and they will pay attention to the message in the next few minutes. Jesus Christ, his teachings concerning his second coming and the judgment day. As we tried to research for this message, I was shocked beyond belief. I was shocked how many different interpretations religious people that call themselves Christians have about judgment day. Somebody thinks about a very angry God that is about to barbecue everybody. Some see the judgment day as the beginning of eternity. Some people have a very messed up idea about judgment day. Our purpose here today, and I hope that all of you will see judgment day as the best day ever. Amen. I hope that all of you will be looking forward for judgment day. It is, believe me, nobody likes to go to court, right?
Yes.
I spent a few, you know, a long time going to court as interpreter. It was one of the first jobs that I have here in the United States. And it was a very unique experience to stand before the judge and be a voice translating for somebody and all the whole thing that happens in court. People don't want to be in court, but this one you do. All right? In Matthew 24, chapter 24 and 25, and by the way, I do strongly recommend to you, when you go, you know, from the church, you have a wonderful meal downstairs, and after you eat, and instead of going home and take a nap and get some extra pounds, so take the Bible and get all that extra pounds up there, not down here. You know, look at Matthew 24. Analyze, read, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Do this at least once a quarter. Or maybe if you don't want to do it once a quarter, every 6 months, you'll be amazed that only this exercise, only by reading those two chapters, your faith is going to change. I can guarantee you. What Jesus taught about his second coming, the judgment day during his final week, before he was closing the book as his teaching book, he told this to everyone. The background first. In 24, 1 and 2, Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple. He said, you see what you see here? Because the disciples and everybody else are so proud of that temple. And then Jesus says, not a stone is going to be left on top of each other here. It's all going to be done. 35 years later, here came the Romans. And Jesus told the disciples, pray that this does not happen on the winter or on the Sabbath. Why? Because that will hinder you, because something special is going on those times. When it's winter, you all stay in with your family. You don't want to go out. When it's the Sabbath, you need to stay in with your family. You don't want to go out doing things you're not supposed to. And so the Romans came, surrounded Jerusalem, and everybody says, we are doomed, because everybody knew what the Romans did to everybody who were defiant to them. They will burn everybody. They were a destructive machine. But what happened? Without any explanation, they left. Every single Christian, and that's what we are told. He says, every single Christian says, I remember what the Lord said. Get up and move out. And they did. And we have been told that not a single Christian perished inside of Jerusalem where the Romans finally destroyed. It destroyed everything, all the pride. And until this day, Israel has never been the same as a country because of that decision not to listen. 24 verse 3, when will these things be? They said, Lord, when is this going to happen? What will be the signs of your coming? Everybody wants the signs. Why? We want the signs. Do you know why the main reason why people want the sign? So I can do all the things first, I can enjoy, and a sign, now I have to drop the things here and try to get ready. The Bible says the time to get ready is every single day, every single moment. As the good Hispanic says, the time is ahorita. Is not tomorrow, is not now, is now. That is the time when we need to be ready. And that's the message that Jesus Christ left. In 24, verse 4 to 35, the coming destruction of Jerusalem. Every single time there is destruction, I want all of you to know, to understand this. It is because of sin. Not because the anger of God, not because the hand of God, is because that's what sin is. Is the nature of sin is destruction. So that answers the first question. And then what is going to be the next one? It says, but in what day? What is the day? Do you know the hour? It says, but the day and hour nobody knows. I wish William Miller and all those very well-intentioned people could have stopped a little bit over this text. And believe me, even this day, even today, there are people that still try to make it, add some numbers with these numbers of pastor. It looks so convincing, pastor, because you see the Bible has this math. It, when you add this and plus add this, it has to be next year, May 21st. But the day and the hour, no one knows. And that answers the second question. Only God knows, no one. And somebody asked me last Sabbath, because we mentioned this, somebody asked me, pastor, what about Jesus? Didn't he know? Because he says, only the Father knows. Jesus was speaking in his humanity. In his humanity, he did not know. But in his divinity, he knows everything. Okay, so I just want to make sure that this, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Who are they? Who are the wise and foolish virgins in a sense today? 10 Seventh-day Adventist churches. Did I say that?
No.
Oh, I think I should rephrase this. 10 churches that claim to be preparing for the Advent. Look what it says in this, Jesus Christ says. It's from 1 to verse 13. It says, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Those who were foolish took their lamps. Their lamps. That's what is the lamp. Okay? Took their lamps. So when you see somebody with the Bible, don't assume they are saved just because they are carrying the Bible. There are a lot of people that are very mean-spirited people that carries the Bible and use the Bible to hit people in the head with it. Not to save them, but to torment them. The Bible is not a killing tool. It's a saving tool. Okay? So don't use your faith in order to show other people how bad they are and how lost they are. When you use the Bible, show the Savior that is a Redeemer, is gracious and anxious to save everyone. When you show a Christ that way, your Bible is more attractive, your faith is more appealing. So the lamps, but they did something that a lot of Christians are doing today. No oil. By the way, I notice that sometimes we see some faithful that are very cranky. Do you know why when things get very cranky? No oil. Do you know what happens to our joints when we have no oil? Clock, 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 clock. Walk like we are all rusted. So, brothers and sisters, have some oil. Don't be so crunky, you know. It says, they took the lamps, but they did not. Why they did not take the oil? Why they were? First, some of you may say, oh, of course, Pastor, because they were foolish. Foolishness in this case here is lack of preparation. When you don't value enough the encounter that you're going to have with God, brothers and sisters, it's not any different. I'm going to say, if I hope that I don't feel, some of you don't feel uncomfortable, but I have to say, sometimes people go to church just like the foolish. They don't bring the lamp or the oil. They don't bring either one. And when they left, when they leave, they complain about this, they complain about that, they complain about that, cranky, right? Because no oil and no lamp. When people come to church, sometimes all that they can see is the empty pews, but they don't look the beautiful people that sit right beside them. Sometimes we contemplate more in what is negative than the blessings that God is showering and put right beside us. Look beside you. Look, look. Look at this good-looking person there. He's going to be with you forever because that's what we are here for. We are searching forever. We are here in eternal business. That's what we are here for. And so the foolish did not understand this concept of eternity. All for them was just now, and they were lazy. They took some money. I know that they took some money. But they did not take oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels and the lamps. Just in case I want so badly to meet him that I don't want to put anything at risk. I don't want to jeopardize the whole plan. I don't know how many of you have seen people that go for a trip and they don't check if there is enough gas on the car. They don't check to see if they have an extra pair of tennis shoes. They don't check if they have water. They just go, oops, I forgot something. Oh, I forgot something. And some people are so in a habit that you can even play a recorder. I forgot something, because they, you know for sure that they will say that. When we are very committed, we will remember the things that is worth remembering. But the wise took oil and the vessels. Because the bridegroom was late. By the way, I emphasize there in yellow, late. He is never late. This is the human perception, not God's perception. Okay? God is never late. If you study Daniel, the 2,300 days and nights, God is precise on time. I had a teacher that wrote a book that said that God does not know the future. And I told him, with all due respect to doctor, you're wrong. Because if you embrace that assumption that God does not know the future, no prophecy has any value. And he says, yeah, I had a problem with the prophecies. I said, your book, I said, with all due respect, Doc, but your book is just like a Swiss cheese. Has so many holes, and each hole is a prophecy. God knows the future, like the theologian Brunner, German theologian says, without causing it. What we humans do not know is there's no time for God. Time only belongs to those that has been created. Humans, angels, and everything has been created. So he was not late, but according to them, they were. So what happened? They all fall asleep, which is natural. All of them. And at midnight, and by the way, it was not a midnight, just for you to know, okay? Midnight here is symbolic. It is the time when everybody, only thing that they are preoccupied is to sleep. When everybody is sleeping. The expression says at midnight means when everybody were sleeping. That's what expression. He came, no, there was a shout saying, he is here, he is coming. Get out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose, all of them, and got their lamps, because they knew without the lamp, I cannot meet Jesus. Can you say with this? Without the lamp, we cannot see Jesus. He said, examine the scriptures, and you will find in the Bible that which testify about him. So they all got the lamps. They knew that the lamp was the key element. And they trimmed means that he tried to make it ready. But something happened. No oil. And the foolish said to the wise, "Oops, give us some of yours." I'm going to say something else here that is going to be hurtful for some of you, but I feel like I have to. Sometimes people come to church and expect everybody else to pay for the air condition, for the electricity, for the cost of fixing everything else. They always want somebody else's oil. I have to say, brothers and sisters, okay, because this is... It's part of being a family in Christ. Do your part. Use your oil. Don't expect always to use somebody else's oil to build your journey with Christ. Do your part. The Lord knows how much you have. The Lord knows because He's the one who puts everything in your hands. And the foolish said to the wise, "Why don't you give me some of yours? For your lamps are going out. Our lamps are going out." Do you know when the lamps started going out? The moment that they left, because they did not take oil with it. The beginning of the end, it was when there. It was not now. Now was too late to fix it. And then it continued by saying, "But the wise answered, saying, 'No, I'm sorry.'" No, they didn't say sorry. Because sorry, he didn't would not help anything. He says, "No, lest you should not be enough for us and you." Do you know why I cannot give of mine? Because salvation is individual. You cannot, no matter how much, how strong is my faith, it doesn't help you. You have to have your own. I cannot give you what I have. You have to have your own. It says, go to those that are selling. Try to buy it. They had the money. They went. But you know what happened. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And what else happened? And those who were ready went in. But what happens to those that are, the door was shut? It is coming, and that's the door was shut is part of the symbolism of the day, the time of grace. We are still, brothers and sisters, we are still under grace. The Holy Spirit is still working with us. But the Holy Spirit comes and knocks. And people don't open. He knocks again. And it comes to a point that you cannot even hear the Holy Spirit anymore. I have seen people. This day and age, I have seen people. I have talked to my wife. I says, here is an example of somebody who has sinned against the Holy Spirit. Because you can tell that this person is worse than beasts. People that has no remorse. People that are killing others, people are doing things that you can tell the Holy Spirit is no longer able to work with them. Have you seen cases right now? There are cases right now in our society that we can tell that these people can no longer be rescued. They are arrested, they are taken to court, they are given a Mickey Mouse sentence, and they get out. Making signs with their hands, a very defiant attitude, a typical satanic attitude, like they fear nothing. They are accountable to nothing. And that is when the door are being shut for them. Afterwards, the other versions came also saying, "Oh, Lord, Lord, open to us." By the way, if you have your Bible, you can mark it, put it with a pen. Right here, Matthew 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. When it says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom, but those who does my Father's will." And they said, "But Lord, we have such a big church. We have evangelism. Our ministry reached the whole world." And by the way, this is my version, okay? It says, We perform miracles. And the Lord says, I have no idea who you are. Same thing here. He says, but he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. This is people that have been in church all their lives. They had the Bible in their hands. But they didn't take oil. And without oil, the Lord said, I don't know who you are. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And he is coming. Now, brothers and sisters, the parable of the talents. It says this. Three servants giving talents to manage according to their ability. God never gives something that we cannot carry. It's all according to our strength. The master goes on a journey to a far country, long time. And then it says, it gives five to one, two to the other one. And what they did, they doubled what they got. The one talented man, he says, you know what? My God is a very mean God. This belongs to him. If I misuse this, I'm toasted. So what he did, he decided to find a ground and bury. There are many people that are burying their lives. They walk around, but they are zombies. They are already dead. That's why Jesus Christ, let the dead bury the dead. Some people are not making their lives productive. I like to emphasize this word productive. A human being is only a human being alive if you are productive. If you are the type of a person that is always wants to take what somebody else produce, you are a parasite. And there is not a most disgraceful way to waste a life than to become a parasite. Mothers, fathers, teach your children to be productive so that they don't have to spend the rest of their lives like this. And not only they will be giving, 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 but they will have also a mean attitude. The one talent man buried his talent in the ground. Yeah, he chose to do nothing. What happens to those that do nothing? They become nothing. Only nobody does nothing. And when you are occupied and preoccupied with nothing, it's because you became nobody. The master returns to settle accounts. He always does. He will. Always. The five and the two said, oh yes, here he is. Twice as much. And by the way, when they walk towards the master, they walk with confidence. They have no fear that the Lord is coming. Those that are afraid that the Lord is coming is because they don't feel confident they did well with what God put in their hands. But what happens to the other one? One talent. He returned the talent to the master. He speaks how he was so afraid of him. Excuses. Oh Lord, I was so afraid. You were such a terrible God that I was afraid of you. So I said, I'm not going to misuse this. I'm not going to run the risk. If I invest and doesn't come a good return, I'll be paid. Oh no. Always the people that have a very bad view of God always create excuses. Why the accusation? If this is it descriptive of God, is it true that God is such a harsh, severe God? Unfortunately, a lot of Christians believe so. And they come to church because they have to. They do not return tithe. They pay tithe. They do not give donations. They invest because they want to be saved by works. It doesn't work, brothers and sisters. God takes only what belongs to Him. Yes. And what does belong to Him? Everything that is good. The bad belongs to somebody else, but all the good belongs to Him. Everything that is good. His critics make harsh accusations against Him throughout history. Satan, the first thing Satan said to Adam and Eve is that He is good and evil. If you do this, you're going to be just like Him. That's what he says from the beginning. You have what is yours. Is this a true statement? What about His abilities? Time, everything that God gave us. Was He capable of making one talent double it? He was, because God gave according to their abilities. And He did not. One talent meant in response. Rather than take responsibility, He made excuses. It's always the ones who choose not to be productive. They say, oh, all that is happening in our society is because of the rich. All is happening with us is because of the government. All is happening, you believe me, it's coming. We're going to start blaming the same people that we allow them to come through the border. We're going to later on put all the blame on them. Poor people that are coming in, many of them are good people. There are a lot of bad stuff coming in too, but many of people are good people. And they will become victim of their own dreams. Why? Because they will be blamed by a lot of things that's going to happen. The disaster is going to come into our society, because it will. When you overload any system, any society, mechanical, any system, this overload collapses. That is a natural law. Okay? It's going to happen. How many blame God because they don't want to take responsibility? Everybody who blames God. Adam and Eve, when they were caught sinning, what they said, oh, this woman, she's the one. And the woman said, the serpent. They all point the fingers to God, because at the end, why did you have to create this woman? Could you not give me one that did not deceive me? Why do you have to put this serpent here? Why can't you make a garden without a serpent? It was all blaming God. And today, many people are still blaming God for everything. You wicked and what? Laziness is the talent of those give me. Those are the lazy ones. Why did his master reply this way? Because he was just a fool. He could not see. You wicked and lazy servant. Why wicked? Did the servant act with the honor? No. Did he blame God for everything? He did. He created excuses and he slandered God. He said something against God. When the master will return, when he returns, we will answer for our choices. We do. Every single human being have abilities. I have seen sometimes, especially when we go through the nomination committee and everything else, people sometimes say, oh, I don't have that kind of talent. Everybody has talents. Every single human being. The only one human being that I have met that did not have any talent is when I was performing the funeral service. They have no talent because they couldn't breathe either. They were gone. Those do not have talent. Everybody else who breathe has some kind of talent. God opposes laziness. It's the opposite of his nature. When he returns, he will reward our conduct. We all, brothers and sisters, have abilities. And I'm not going to go over all the text that I put there. It's just some of you that can take pictures. You can take pictures of the screen. And then you can read those verses later on. Now, lessons that we learn from this parable. We are giving based on our own ability. No excuses. Faithfulness over little is required for more. The proportion received is always the proportion expected. do what you can with what you have. God does not expect you any more than that, okay? Fear obstructs our ability to succeed. Sometimes people between success and failure, there is a word, or it's either faith or fear. If it's faith, you succeed. If it's fear, you fail. Always, fear is what caused many people not succeed. What you don't use, you lose. That's a law of nature. You park a car in one place, no matter how, if it was the Germans who made it, it doesn't matter who made it. You park a car and do not turn it on for a while. It will come a time when you won't, even that you spend $1,000, $2,000, $10,000, $100,000, it won't move because nature takes over what is not used. Faith that doesn't produce is not faith, is fake. And finally, brothers and sisters, the judgment. Jesus now described the judgment directly. He says the Son of Man, meaning why he used this title, the Son of Man, meaning I'm taking your uniform. I took your uniform. I'm God, the Abba, the Creator. But here I am wearing your uniform because I'm here to represent your cause. I'm here to redeem you. Okay? So that's Jesus. Yes, yes, us. Remember that I said to you, yes, us, Jesus. He will come in glory. Brothers and sisters, that is a sure thing. Don't have any doubt because you don't want to be one of those that says, oops. That is not going to be a good time for oops. No, no, no. With his angels. Do you know how many angels will come? All. Do you know what all means? I mentioned last week. But some of you were not here last week. For your benefit, I'm going to respond. Let me see. If you take up the globe, the earth, there is part of the globe that has light and part is darkness, right? Day and night. But that day, there will be no night, not here, not here. Because all over the earth, like a shell, will be all surrounded by angels. And for them to all look at the earth, they can only allow to put their face. Because there will be no room for them to put their whole body. And they all shining with the glory of God. So even in Chile, with the mines that they have there, or South Africa, you know, when people are 500 feet underground, it will be just like the noontime. It will be bright everywhere. And those that did not expect Jesus to come is going to be terrified. The Bible says they're going to ask, I want to die, I want to die, I can't stand. But you good-looking people, you have your guardian angel right beside you, and you're going to look not with the eyes that you have now, not with this stuff. You're going to look already with a transformed eyes. Better than the eagle's eyes. And you will for the first time contemplate the face of that angel that has been assigned to take care of you even before your mother was conceived. Before you were conceived, you see that glorious angels, and you will start reflecting immediately the glory of that angel because your body now is glorified as well. And so all of us are going to grab the hand of our guardian angel and says, let's go and meet your beloved Lord and Savior. And there, because now I have a perfect eyesight, Now I can see where he is. All with all his angels is coming. He will sit in judgment of his throne. Of course, this is a symbolic, because at that time he's coming only to pick up those that have already been declared his own. Okay? A day of separation. For those that did preparation, they will not have a problem with the separation period. Those that did not do any preparation, they're not going to like the separation time. All nations, everyone, were there before him. Separate them, and you can find those verses, John 5, 28, 29, we used here last week. The sheep on the right. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Remember I told you that I like to see you at 3 o'clock on the right side of the tree of life? And the people will already ask me why the right. There is one hint. I like to be the right side of things. And that's why I want to meet you at the right side, because you are blessed if you are the right side. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you when? Before the Lord created this world, he already had you in his mind. Before the world was even created, you were already part of his plan. From the foundation of the world, everything was, nothing catch our Lord by surprise, nothing. But the goats, we always have them around, don't we? But no more. Depart from me. Can you blame? He doesn't want anything to do with the goats. They are rebellious. They do whatever they want. The Lord wants the sheep, but not the goats. Why? They chose not to be good. They chose. Can you see the why I did here? You know what is do evil is? Devil. That's what I did there. So to put in your mind, those who choose to do evil are those who belongs to the devil. The goats on the left, the unrepented sin. I have seen people that have steal one penny and they don't feel guilty about it. Do you know why people don't feel guilty when they steal one penny? They believe that it's not a big deal. It's a little thing. Now, I asked this question before. A person who steals 1 million or a person who steals one penny, which one is going to lose their salvation? Both. If you have any doubt, if you want the biblical, go to Genesis chapter 3. Here is this beautiful tree, fruit created by God. Fruit, good fruit. There was nothing wrong with the fruit. But the Bible says, don't touch it. Don't covet. Don't touch it. And she went and touched it. She started dying the moment that she touched the fruit. Because that was the disobedience. When she took the fruit and took a bite, she confirmed her determination to disobey God. Unrepented sin, the justifiable sin. People try to say, oh, I did this because I did. You know what the danger of that is? When you talk yourself out of repentance. When you try to justify the bad thing you did, you try to say, it was not bad, because there is a justification why I did. The little sins, the little, what they call the white lies, the justifiable sins, the little things are the ones who sink the ship. Little holes. People think that, oh, when the Titanic was hit, they closed the gates. They said that this is all, you know, nothing can sink this ship. Yep. Ask those thousands of people that died because of that silliness. Note, any sin, it is a horrible sin, because any sin causes death. The goats on the left, their faith, eternal destruction. Why they receive destruction? Not because God is the destroyer. It's because here is the destroyer, Abaddon. And they said, he is our God. They took the side of destruction, so they got what they chose. That's fair. They ask for destruction, and that's what they get. Our salvation is based upon our faith. A godly faith that produces works. Not works that produce faith. Okay? A faith that pleases God. A faith that reveals God. A faith that honors God. That is the kind of faith that will allow you to see Jesus. Amen. We are almost done. There are only two directions in judgment. Right and left. And the outcome are both. Both right is eternal. Left is eternal. Left is to be consumed. Right is to be alive forever. Next week, we have a message that I hope that you do not miss. I sound like I'm making a commercial, Anna. Next week, I intend to show to you a view about the close, the final day of evil. I hope that you come next week and bring some friends with you. Okay? We're going to be talking about the final day of evil. Last week, we talked about the first day of goodness is when we are resurrected. Eternity starts. Next week, we'll be talking about this. Please don't miss. Our Lord's return will be, we receive eternal judgment. Have you seen this picture before? Yes. I'm not talking about the bulletin. Bulletin, we made up another one. 1844. Yes. Do you know how many people of all the Christians even understand what 1844 is all about? Yeah. We. The remnant church. Yes. They all do not understand the concept. I remember when I was attending the Roman Catholic Church, I remember that I took catechism, and I remember they taught me to memorize the Hail Mary and the Lord's Prayer, and also some special prayer for the Virgin Mary. When you finish the rosary there, there's we say in Portuguese, Salve Rainha. I don't know how they say that in English. I never heard it in English, how they call that in English. But it's all about Mary. Okay? 53 Marys and 5 Lord's Prayer, more or less, something like that. Our Father. But I was taught to say the creed, the Roman Catholic creed. And I remember portions of it, and I remember one part that was always a little confusing to me. Because it says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming to judge the living and the dead. That's part of the creed of the Roman Church. And I was confused because I says, if the people died and they went back already to heaven, died, whoops, stopped in the purgatory to be barbecued a little bit, and whoops, this went to straight to hell. If everybody's been judged already, why we keep saying, and he's coming to judge the living, the dead? Some of us, Seventh-day Adventists, also misunderstand that concept. We're thinking that when Jesus Christ comes, the judgment is started. There is two aspects. Some of you that have, I hope you, none of you have this kind of experience, but if you have been in court or know a little bit about court, there is judgment has phases. There is a hearing part of the sentence. There is a, before the hearing, there is a, when you try to investigate first to see if the we have enough substance to press charges. Then there, you file if there is, you feel like there is. There is the hearing, and then there is, you go before the judge. And then after that, there is a scheduled date when the whole case is discussed. Then there's the defense and everything else, and then comes the phase of sentencing, if we find out who is guilty or not. For us, judgment as a Seventh-day Adventist, when Jesus Christ comes, that is judgment in a sense that is saying, you come with me. You have been chosen. Your sentence is eternal life, is a reward. Yours, away from me. Those that are not with Christ in that day when he comes is going to go to the grave, and you're going to stay there in prison for 1,000 years. Amen. That is the beginning of what we're going to be discussing next week. You must come. So judgment, and I took the same picture and I made this picture. Why I chose to make this picture? Because I want you to imagine in the day of judgment, what is taking place right now, the Bible says to us, don't fear, we have an advocate. We have the best lawyer that ever in the whole universe. You cannot find any other lawyer as better than this one. This lawyer is so much convinced that you're going to be saved, that he gave his life, he's bet his life on your life. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, imagine that that's your advocate putting his arm in your shoulder and saying to you, don't worry, I paid in full. Everything is going to be all right. We will stand before God, we all. Are you ready?
Yes.
I pray and I hope that you will make that precious day. Lord, brothers and sisters, what a waste of a life if you live to die. Amen. If you live to live, it's going to be all worth it. May the Lord bless you with the conviction. And by the way, take the lamp and get some oil, okay? We don't want any cranky Christians. God bless.
Amen.
Let's talk about this blessed assurance.